We've had several big name guests this week, but we are not going to get one bigger than the man that just sat down at the table. It is our friend Kenny Chesney, yeah. The four-time CMA Entertainer of the Year.
Oh, man.
Hopefully I got that right. I know you won several awards.
It's good.
Awesome.
But,
good.
Thanks for
awesome.
The time today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Done some media stuff out here, so thank you for talking to the Dallas crowd.
Yeah,
and
man.
I want to start with something sportsy.
Okay.
And I don't want to be critical because I know you're a Vols fan.
Right.
And you grew up
Vols
guy.
Yeah.
The internet let me know that you have said you've been fans of multiple professional fan bases. So I want to pin you down here. I want to throw a fastball right up
right
the
away.
Who is your NFL team?
Well, here's the thing. And growing up in Knoxville, we didn't have a pro allegiance to any, we didn't have pro sports.
Right.
So then your life gets to a point where it is now, and then all of a sudden people start coming to your shows.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, there's Andy Reid. And then, wait, there's Sean Payton. And then we put out a song called Boys of Fall, and then literally every football coach in the world came out. So I never said I was, favorites to anybody. When Sean Payton got the gig in New Orleans, I bought a suite.
Okay.
Just for the fun factor. Right? Because Sean and I were – I met Sean when he was quarterback's coach for the Giants. And then he went to Dallas under Parcells. Yeah. And then after that, he got the gig in New Orleans. You know, and then, oh, my God, that was so much fun, fellas. But I was glad that he left because it cost me years of my life going down there, especially for night games. You know, we had so much fun.
I bet, man.
I mean, they don't party in New Orleans, Kenny. Come on.
My father and
it's
I.
Like Vegas. It's slow, very chill. Yeah.
Then you add in the Super Bowl they went to,
Yeah.
Honestly, it was always something to do with my dad, So that's. And then I've always followed the Patriots because there was a guy that played at Tennessee that got drafted by the Patriots when I was a kid. His name was Stanley Morgan. I don't know if you remember Stanley Morgan or not, but he was a great, great football player. And as a kid, I really looked up to him when he played at Tennessee and then the Patriots. That's where my love affair for the Patriots started. So, yeah.
So being a huge country music superstar now and being at Radio Row Super Bowl week, I mean, you said Sean Payton was in a music video. Is there is there any athlete now that you still get starstruck by? Like, oh my gosh.
Oh wow. I don't know. I mean, like I've met a lot of people. Probably not. But it's always good to see. Like guys, when you've been on the road as much as I've been on the road, if you come to our shows, when we play Dallas, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to see more sports people at that show than you will musicians, right? That's just the way it's been for us, And so there's a lot of people that's been one of the most amazing things is about, where my life has taken me and what we do is you got to meet your heroes. I never thought I was going to meet, whoever it is. I never thought I was going to have dinner with Jerry Jones one night ever, right? Or become friends with him.
Okay.
That's one of the things that's so crazy for me. Like, I just wanted to write songs and go play.
Visiting with Kenny Chesney here on Radio Row. Well, you throw that out there. You've had dinner with Jerry Jones. I have to ask you about what happened.
Sure.
How did that go?
Yeah. Well, it's been
tell
a couple of
night.
Times. Well, I mean, this was a long time ago. This was at a place in Florida that I had dinner with him. He's come to a lot of shows when we played in Arlington. And he's just been – him and his family have been there with us a long time. It was one night – we were in St. Bart's with my girlfriend in St. Bart's, and I saw – I was at this restaurant. And I said, man, there's Jerry Jones over there. So I told the waitress, I said, I want you to send something over there to Jerry. But I said, don't make it a big deal. I don't want to make a scene. I just want to send something to the table.
Maybe a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
It was a note saying, hey, this is Kenny. I'm over your left shoulder.
Oh.
That was it. They come out of the kitchen with sparklers. And I was like, oh. I was like, and it made a big deal out of it. It embarrassed me to death, but I never thought that my life would get to that point, where I would, a lot of people like that.
Yeah, you've been doing this such a long time from where you started, where country music was, and then going through the 90s, kind of that evolution to what it is now.
Yeah.
How do you evolve with your music to keep it fresh and new and still appealing to the crowd?
Well, I mean, you have to change. And if you listen to the records that I made in the in the 90s. Yeah. It's much different now. Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, yeah, the 90s had its sound.
Yeah, so it's adjusting. More than anything else, it's adjusting sonically. You know, and so it's different now. I mean, you have to make your records to sound. If you want to be played on terrestrial radio, you have to sonically, you know, do a certain thing. And I've been okay with that. You know, but it's still about songs. It's still about you know, getting up there on stage and making people feel something. Yeah. You know, and giving them the best experience you could possibly give them, which we love doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put on a great show, man.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Your next album is coming out in March.
Coming up, there's a lot. We got a busy couple months.
And that's Born, correct?
We got a new album called Born coming out March 29th, and then I mean, literally right after that. We start tour April 20th at the Buccaneer Stadium, and then we kind of work our way to Dallas. What you guys said we're playing
May 11th.
Mm-hmm. May 11th. So,
okay, we wanted to ask you about playing a stadium like that, because Wednesday night I went to see you two at the Sphere,
right?
Which I don't know if you've experienced that.
I haven't.
Yet. Kenny, you have to go. It's mind blowing. But it took a lot of expertise behind the scenes to make all that work. I'm curious about putting on a big stadium show. How many people, how much technology, and how much, because you're not like Britney Spears doing a choreographed dance.
No.
How do you,
with knives.
How do you do
you
your.
You should try it. It might be awesome.
How do you do your walkthrough for a big show like that? Obviously, you have sound checks and rehearsals, but is there staging that goes on?
Well, there's no, but we start rehearsals in 2 weeks from, like, right now, you know, so. And we're already building. It's like building, we have a blueprint, everything. It's like building a house every year. If you're going to go to the stadium run, it's like you got to. There's certain parts of it you want to keep, certain parts you want to change.
Right.
But it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work leading up to us. I mean, like I said, we open April 20th in Tampa. That's a Saturday night. We will be in Tampa from we rehearse Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you got to do it at night, because when you're riding the light show, when you're doing everything, you got to see it kind of when it's dark.
Right.
So it's a lot of work goes into it, but it's exciting work. But I mean, it's crazy to say. You know, we're looking forward to the tour starting so we can get some rest,
right?
Because all the work goes.
It's like an NBA team that does practice a lot during the season. Yeah. They just play the game. That's what it's like. With
that's
the
exactly right. Because we don't rehearse during the year. We just go play.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
How are the nerves going into a show like that when you're playing AT&T Stadium or one of the biggest stadiums in the world, compared to when you're playing a smaller venue? Is it big?
Yeah, the moment, of course.
You can just look at my fingernails.
I'm already biting my fingernails thinking about it. You know, like, it's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, but it's one of the most. The first time I ever played it, it was one of the most exciting moments. I mean, I was so scared. You know, and I was never thought. You know, a kid being from East Tennessee that sat in a corner and played his hero songs for tips and beer and free enchiladas at a Mexican restaurant, ever thought that he would be playing the home of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you find yourself in that moment, you're like, you're looking around at your band, your band's looking around at you going, what's happening? Like, this is great.
Incredible.
But it's got the nerves have calmed down over the years. I don't know how many times we've played it. I think this will be I have to look. Maybe our ninth or tenth time playing it. You know, so it's always a thrill, though. It's an audience that's been built over the years. You know, it's come a long way since playing Billy Bob's. You know, a couple times a year.
How often do you reflect on that? Like, you think back to playing Billy Bob's, or, you know, times in the early 90s.
The first time I ever played in the Dallas Fort Worth area, I played in the Stockyards where they closed it down, and it was for some free radio show. Right?
Yeah,
who knows what it was? But it was a long time ago. Next year, I played Billy Bob's. I played Billy Bob's twice in 1 year. You know, that's back when you were just touring and you were literally playing where they would let you play, not because you know you're building your audience, right? So you just played where you could play, and Billy Bob's was always really good to us.
Visiting with Kenny Chesney here on Radio Row, here on The Ticket. I want to bring up Taylor because we're at the Super Bowl, obviously.
Because you just have to.
Taylor Swift,
you
by the way.
To.
Apparently.
But
if you didn't know who
we're
talking about.
She plays huge arenas just like you do.
Yeah.
You helped bring her along, though. I was reading a story about how she was a 17-year-old. She was going to open for you. But she gets dropped from the tour because I think there was an alcohol sponsor.
That's right, and they couldn't sponsor the tour with a minor.
Right.
Well, they wouldn't.
Right.
And I understand that. So I had to call her and tell her. Well, I didn't have to, but I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I gave her I eased the blow, if you know, monetarily.
Wrote her a check, and that – help propel her career.
You know what's crazy? I read that article, and I was stunned she even remembered it. You know, and that next year, I mean, literally after I gave her the money, and she went on. What happened to her life from then? Okay, fast forward just less than 12 months. She was nominated. I was nominated for Entertainer of the Year, and she was nominated in the same category, same
wow.
year, and she won. Right? She beat me. So I went up to her backstage, and I gave her a hug, and I said, I want my money back.
That's awesome.
That was just a loan.
I was trying to do the right thing. Now it's personal.
That's fantastic. How do you, like, when you're going into planning a tour, if you're going to have an opener, how do you choose? Because you're, like with Taylor, you're essentially anointing someone to have exposure that you bring them.
Well, you got to, look, I mean, obviously they got to have something going on.
Yeah.
Right? But more than that, I mean, you really do have to dig deep and go, okay, are they going to bring something more than just a hit record to, you know, to open up? Because they can hear the hit record anywhere.
Right.
But they have to have a personality, and of course, we all know Taylor's got all kinds of personality. I mean, she's that big of a star, but not just because of the music. I mean, she connects. I mean, she just does. So not everybody has that, you know, so you look for that. You look, you know, are they going to be out there on the road with you and it be a fun summer? Now, if they take themselves too seriously, we really don't. We're very grateful for what's happened to us. But if there's somebody out there that's taking themselves much more seriously than they need to, that doesn't. It doesn't fit good with us.
Yeah, you have to have good vibes.
Yeah, have to have a good vibe. And so that you'd be surprised the people that we didn't take out, and they had a lot of hit records, that we just knew that it was going to be a long summer.
I don't want to hang with this person.
We don't want to do that.
So the tour's coming up starting in April. Will it be done before football season starts? Because I know in the past you
What's have, that? What will be done?
I know your tour. Because I know in the past you've altered it to where you're not – putting people out to come see you.
I don't compete with
their favorite
football.
College for pro team.
I don't compete with football. I mean, I just don't. I don't compete with families in football. Like, okay, if you go and tour in the fall, let's just say we extend the tour into September and October.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to compete against high school football on a Friday night. There's a lot of families going to watch their kids play. A lot of kids want to come to the show. And then you got Saturday. Okay, well, there's I'm not going to compete against college football, and then I'm not going to compete against the NFL either. So we decided that, and this was years ago, and also I've said on the Paul Feinbaum show once, I said the reason I don't do it is because I want to watch the games.
There you go.
Smart.
You know, so I want to watch the games with my dad. You know, that's, we don't have a lot in common, and damn it, football's one of them, and that's enough.
That's awesome.
And so that's why I don't do it. And we open the tour every year in Tampa. We close it every year in Foxborough because I'm very superstitious. And that's why we do it.
Awesome.
This is Kenny Chesney joining us. You're going to be at AT&T Stadium on May 11th. You told us the story about having dinner with Jerry Jones. Do you have any other Dallas stories?
It doesn't involve anybody with the Cowboys. It does involve Jerry a little bit and his daughter Charlotte. We were, I think it was our first time or second time playing there, and they in the afternoon, both of them came to the bus to say hello, and, you know, they walked out from their office. We spent a good hour on the bus talking, you know. And they said, can we do anything for you? And as a joke, I swear to God it was a joke, I said, yeah, I'd like to have a hot tub out here by the bus. So I go on stage, I do the show, and I come back, and outside of my bus is a hot tub with Wes Welker in it.
Okay.
And Kevin Millar and a bunch of people that I didn't know.
Well, I'm sorry about Kevin Millar, but Wes Welker, that's pretty cool.
And I couldn't believe it. And they both of them had, like, snorkels on it. I mean, and they were drinking, they had snorkels on. And they were, I mean, I couldn't believe it. There was Wes Welker and Kevin Millar in this hot tub, and that Charlotte and Jerry actually did it.
Kenny, I want to ask you about your brand and the whole No Shoes Nation thing. Mm-hmm. It feels like you have a lot of island vibes to your singing and songwriting.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to insult you by saying this.
You're not insulting. You can't insult. I got pretty tough skin.
The late, great Jimmy Buffett passed this year.
Yeah.
And he was known as that guy in music. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's exactly where you're going to facilitate that exact role, but it feels like that maybe those people or people that of that like mindset will naturally gravitate to you now to maybe facilitate that type of icon.
Yeah, I've always went into the studio and recorded songs about how I live my life, and Matt, I started spending time on my boat in the Virgin Islands and down there with those people and become friends with a lot of people and the characters and the stories they told me, and it just kind of made its way into my music, you know. And Jimmy and I became friends over the years, and there's nobody I miss more, I can promise you that, you know, and because he was such a – he was more than a friend. I mean, like, I took every opportunity to tell him how much he and his music meant to me. And, I mean, I don't care to tell you, it shaped me, you know. Like,
right.
You,
yeah. Right,
you have those people that you look up to as songwriters.
Sure.
And it was always the people that wrote their songs and went out and performed them, whether it's Jimmy Buffett or Bruce Springsteen or Paul McCartney or whoever it is. I mean, those are the ones that really perked my interest and made me want to go down this path to begin with.
How do you feel about songwriting in Nashville right now? I know that there's people that are just songwriters,
yeah,
and they write things for certain acts. But there's something I think more special about the individual that just can write it and then perform it.
Well, I think so, because like I said, that's always what I was, you know, gravitated towards. Mm-hmm. And so I don't write all my songs. I don't. I'd be crazy to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to make a record and it's all going to be songs that I wrote.
Because you've had 20 albums. It would be hard to just
right. Well,
write
think
that
about
many
it.
Songs.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It kind of drives me crazy that acts go, okay, well, I'm just going to do my songs, you know, and that they think, and I know I can't do this, that I can sit there and go, okay, in a 18 to month period or a 2 year period, I'm going to be able to write better songs and put them on my record than everybody in town. You'd be silly to not want to find the best songs, right? And that's the way I've always done it. I've always had some songs I wrote on my record, but you know, I didn't write No Shoes, No Shirt, No Problems. I didn't write The Good Stuff. I didn't write Young. I didn't write a lot of songs
really?
That I play every night on stage. And if I had that mentality, I wouldn't have those songs in my life at all.
This is Kenny Chesney joining us. Unfortunately, we lost Toby Keith this week.
Yep.
Who do you remember?
Great songwriter.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember your last interaction with Toby?
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, Toby and I were friends, but we didn't call each other at Christmas. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So if I saw him in this setting, we'd be good to see you.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute. I'm sure at an award show somewhere. You know, it's like, I mean, we were friends, but we, you know, there is, for whatever reason, I mean, you're closer to some people than you are other people,
sure.
You know? So I'm sure, well, no, I can tell you when it was. When they honored him, no, it was at the BMI Awards this past fall when BMI honored Toby. And I was there a part of that evening and went up and said hello to him. That was the last time. It was quick. It was in passing. Mm-hmm. But I gave him a hug and patted him on the back. And
yeah.
Man, you raised a Red Solo Cup.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course. Yeah.
You got the new album coming out, as we were talking about. How's that process work for you? Is that something with the label, hey, we need another album, or is that you saying, I've got stuff, it's time for me to let it out?
It's a little of both. I mean, like, yeah. It's been a minute since I put out a record.
Yeah.
The last album I put out was the first year of COVID.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's...
Yeah,
it's a little of my clock going, okay, it's time to feed the fans, and I was also the label going, knock, 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 give me.
Right?
Yeah. So it's I'm excited about it, you know, because we got a record that's leading into the tour, and it really reflects our live setting, and it's I'm looking forward to it. It's been a minute since we've given, you know, the world new music,
mm-hmm.
And that's new music is always good. New energy is always good.
I'm curious about the pressures you face. Is it a pressure from your fan base to put out a new record? Obviously, the record company is a record company.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like the vibe I get from you is you feel like you owe it to your fans to continue to try to create and put out the best product possible.
Well, you hope that's why anybody does it. You know, if you go into it to not, I mean, that's mm-hmm. it's a kind of a mute point, really. But I still feel insanely creative, and I love what I feel when I get up there on stage. It drives me. I mean, it's I don't know how to explain it. Like it's being up there in that moment when you go into the studio to make music and make records. I think about that moment, okay? Because nowhere else in my life do I feel what I feel when I'm up there, right? It's real, and it's real to us. But you would think it might be an illusion because it's because it doesn't appear anywhere else in my life other than there. But yeah, so making music with that in mind can be. Stressful, and it can be, but you don't. I don't try to let it beat me up too much. You know,
I let it propel you.
Yeah, just go in there and make the best record I can, and knowing that that it's going to fit good in the live element. That's what I've always really tried to do.
Who do you like this weekend? I know you're going to be, I mean, you watch every game, so.
I feel like the Chiefs are, you know, I mean, they got rinsed not long ago by the Raiders. And I feel like they're the hotter team. You know, they found a way to turn it. It's not the same team.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I saw some crazy stat today that Mahomes, as an underdog, was like unbelievable, like 10-2.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cover. I mean, they absolutely won the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not betting against them. You know what I mean?
Like,
I
just can't bet against Mahomes.
Because it feels like the Niners are the more complete team.
Yeah. The Niners are more.
And I feel maybe better weapons, better defense.
And I don't know who's the younger team. I don't know. Do we know that?
There's veterans and young kids mixed on both.
Because pretty similar.
You got to think about who's it going to affect the most? When is the moment going to be too big for somebody?
Yeah.
And the team that can, I mean, this goes back to whether it's a Super Bowl, as you guys know, or Little League football. If you can tackle and run the football, chances are pretty good. And well, so we'll see who does that best someday.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. We picked the Chiefs also.
One last thing. What do you eat during a game? Like, what do you munch on?
During a game?
Yeah.
Depends on the time of year.
Okay.
So when I'm off tour, we get off tour at the end of the end of August. So I get off tour right when football season
starts. I know you watch your carbs. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I don't during football season.
Okay.
So, neither do we.
No. So it's whatever.
Just like you.
Because I'm on it, like, right now. 2 weeks ago, I started training to go on the road.
Yeah.
So you're right. I have a really specific diet, even for the Super Bowl. I'm not staying for the game because I don't want to put myself in a position to drink.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving. So
that's what we're doing today, too.
Yeah. We won't pressure you.
We're not going to put ourselves
in a position to drink anymore.
At all.
Yeah. Good Lord.
So we're just drinking water.
It's different now. You know, so I know I've got to fit in them show jeans in April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've got to change everything. So I for the Super Bowl, it's going to be pretty basic.
Okay.
You know, but during football season, when I'm with my buddies or my dad or wherever we're watching the game, I mean, it's I'm just like everybody else in the world.
Maybe something in
and
the
football.
Smoker.
It's a long football season.
Maybe an overnight brisket or something like
100%.
That.
100%. There you go.
100%.
Awesome.
Kenny, it was fun, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Nice interview. You're going to be in town May 11th. We'll try to come find you.
That'll be a hot tub.
We'll be in the hot tub with Jerry Jones.
I will 100%.
He will not be sober.
Trust me.
But we'll
have Walter Millar in there. It'll be great.
We'll figure it out.
There'll be plenty of room for you guys.
It's Kenny Chesney, ladies and gentlemen.
Appreciate it.
There he goes,
sir. Appreciate it.
It's 2:15 here on the tickets. When we come back, we'll talk some more Super Bowl week.